This is a production of Cornell University.
I now call the meeting to order on Tuesday, February 26th at 4:37 p.m. First order of business, the minutes for Tuesday, February 12th, 2013 have been distributed. Does anybody have any amendments to the minutes? I hear none. Any objections to approving the minutes of Tuesday, February 12th? Minutes has been passed. Next order of business, reports from the assembly. We did not have an executive board meeting this week. So moving on to student assembly, is Adam here?
Well, you still have an update about your safety resolution?
Yes, I do, but I guess that's not in the EB. So I've been working on two safety resolutions, one for calling for more surveillance cameras and one for a safety mandate for building designs and trying to look at safety before or during designing the architecture of the building so we could cut down the cost of crime prevention after the building's been built. I was hoping to have those two resolutions for you guys today at the meeting, but unfortunately Cassie Zona has been very busy lately, and I'm looking into several other avenues to try to get some expertise to look at the resolutions before passing on to the assembly or the assembly. So that's my update for the safety resolutions. If anybody have any questions, please talk to me. Next, student assembly. It doesn't seem like Adam is here, so if anybody from the SA could please give us an update. Jay. Sorry, momentarily blanked.
Nothing said you just
okay. Okay. Thank you, Jay.
Is the SA having candidate forum?
They're currently having one. This is where Adam is.
Yeah, okay.
So they're having candidate forum. The SA elections are next week from Monday to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear a lot from candidates going about some campaigning. In terms of, I don't know, our agenda hasn't been released yet for this week, so I don't know what we're discussing, but in the past week we discussed an international student center and how we can address international student issues on campus, as well as some of the more internal things like an SA initiative tracker.
Thank you, Adam. Next, GPSA from Mitch.
In the last meeting, we talked about three more topic areas as part of the Graduate Community Initiative, the GD plan. And one of those has to do with housing, which I know was our main topic for the UA student staff. So if anyone's curious to see that document, the draft that we have so far, let me know. I can send it along. I don't want to send it out to a listserv until we have it approved. But if anyone's interested in taking a look, let me know. And also at our next meeting next Monday, we'll have three more, our final set of topic areas we'll be discussing before we put the document together, send it out, and finalize it on March 25th. And also on March 4th, President Thornton will be at the meeting, so if any of you all want to come attend and hear the discussion, it would be great. As always, our meetings are from 5:37 in Milan Hall, Bach Auditorium.
Thank you, Mitch. Employee Assembly from Tanya.
Sure, the Employee Assembly has been working on a bunch of forms across campus, sharing the recommendations that have come out of the Employee Engagement Survey. So we're finalizing those. We have one more to go. But the biggest thing that we did at our last meeting is that we voted on a resolution that was with President Thornton essentially requiring all colleges and units to report out on what they individually have been doing on the employee engagement survey, what progress that they've made, and that would be an annual ongoing thing.
Thank you, Tanya. Faculty Senate from Dean Burns.
We've had two activities that may interest you over the last couple of weeks. On Valentine's Day, we had our second faculty forum, which I do one of these every every semester, and this one was on the future of the research library. We had maybe 125 people over in Milstein, vigorous discussion. I'd say one disappointment was that the audience was largely librarians and elderly faculty, and no students, and very few, very active faculty, people active in research, and yet the nature of the library, at least what we heard, is going to change dramatically over the next couple of decades. We also had a faculty senate meeting last Wednesday. At that senate meeting, there was the president came and reported on his findings or his committee's findings on what occurred on Poe Plaza when there was a confrontation between the supporters of the Palestinian movement and the supporters of the Israeli movement. That president's report was written by Jim Ingalls and the president's executive assistant, Jane Miller. And they had several findings. One was that the legislation that governs permitting for demonstrations is in conflict between the university, the campus code, and the permitting process itself. And they have sent that, the president has sent that finding on to the university assembly, which is what they call control it. It's a little bit complicated in the reasons which I'll mention in a moment. But, so that was one of the findings they had. The other finding they had was that there was lots of heated light after the confrontation between these people, but that there really was, the fair finding was that they were largely people who were very excited about whatever the topic was, and there was no ill will necessarily or any encouragement of academic freedom or freedom of expression or anything like that. That they felt that all the parties, the police, the Palestinians, the faculty who were there, or the Israelis who were there, all felt that they could point to some part of the legislation that supported their position, and what they were doing was correct. They could shout at these guys, and those guys couldn't shout back at them, to those guys, but they could shout at those guys. And so it sounded like something like that happened down in the chapter house just before elections or something. Lots of anger, but not necessarily coming to the people of Miami right. Anyway, you may recall from the last faculty senate that there was a second resolution passed, and that resolution concerning these issues, the second resolution asked myself and the university, the USC University faculty committee, to form a committee of our own faculty members to address the same incidents with a little bit more of an edge, sort of a presumption that there was something wrong at the confrontation or violation, and also specifically asking if the following issues be addressed and the following people be spoken to. We have formed that committee, and it is comprised of Phil Fly, the former dean of the faculty, Rick Almendinger, a professor of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences, and the former associate dean of engineering at the university, and Margaret Washington from the Department of History.
If I might interject there, what is the... A lot of what you are discussing seems to be under the purview of the university assembly and the CJC and those sort of avenues. So I'm just wondering what the thought process was behind the formation of these sorts of committees and these resolutions.
The view was that for the second resolution that I'm talking about right now, the view was that academic freedom of expression, freedom of assembly were being violated, and these are the core principles of the university, and the university faculty are sort of the group that oversees those core principles.
No, I understand. I was just trying to understand.
That's one. And I think the view of the people who were forward also was that even though the president was running his own investigation, that the faculty itself should be investigated because the president, to some degree, was involved because the people, the police, ultimately at the chain report back to him. And there was some feeling, I think, on the part of the people who brought it forward also that there was a bias perhaps within the administration for the Israeli position and that they were going to support. And then the last and perhaps the most important resolution was that there were three faculty members who said that they felt threatened and that they were being pushed around by the police and they wanted some action on these allegations.
Well, I'm just curious. I don't know exactly the history behind these sorts of issues in the past and related to the university assembly, but maybe Bob.
I don't know of any.
Randy?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, several years ago, the university assembly was very involved in certain academic freedom issues, and I think we ruffled enough feathers that our prerogative to get involved in those issues were removed from the new charter. In fact, it's my feeling that that's why we have a new charter. And the faculty senate truly has an interest in this. And that we advocate for it. And I went to that meeting because it would come back here. And I just want to say, it's one of the best meetings, period, that I've ever gone to in terms of how people presented their questions, their thoughts. I'm ready to take what comes and with the other CJC people see what we should do with the students for the university. But that was something that the university assembly would have done on its own originally, and because of the charter change, there's nothing in there that really says that. Yeah,
okay.
Should be what we would say.
So just to continue to the very last piece of this, and that's where the confusion may come in, is that the president sent his report on to Joy, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and said this should then go in front of Randy's group. And then some people on the faculty said at a UIC meeting, said, wait a second, we're going to be like the tenant and going, oh, wait a second, we have our own investigation, and the campus code folks should not get involved just yet. I subsequently spoke to the person and said that I think that perhaps you should start to get involved with Andrew, because I don't think that from the initial meetings of the faculty committee, I believe that they are comfortable with the idea that there are conflicts in this code and that we should move on. It could be, on the other hand, it could be that issues will come up in the investigation that will be of interest to your group. But I don't think you guys should delay all that much, because if you do, you're going to end up that this will be coming up next year. I think it'll be single.
I just want to make sure that we're communicating clearly, because President Sporting did send a follow-up to the UA leadership to say to wait until
right.
the faculty kind of is comfortable, and that's the last word that they received, which is why it wasn't reported on
okay.
earlier in the
okay.
Are you saying that you feel
I'm
that?
Saying I raised that I had a monthly meeting with him last Thursday, Friday, something like that, and raised this other position that, in fact, is probably too close to election. He and I will do something. Okay, and all I'm saying, trying to say, we have not yet reported out, but my impression from our committee is that they will not consider making a difference on the issue of that the pro-legislation is
different.
Am I
wrong?
The report so far, is that available to really distribute?
Every senator's office.
His was distributed to the entire Senate and is on the Senate record.
I got the if the assembly felt that it should get involved, they can get involved even if the president doesn't want you to get involved.
Right.
So you don't need to worry about that as the assembly, whether or not Gordon says it's okay or not, or you have this man on the other side. Well, if you're a member, and he can vote, you guys can do the consequences of doing that, but...
If I might interject, since we're having a great discussion here, let's have Joy call on people.
I am going to start a speakers list, starting with Alex and then Bob. I guess you're stretching with. Sorry. Bob?
Yeah, in terms of the involvement of the UA, the executive committee of the UA has been invited to have a meeting about this, and this meeting has not occurred. It might have occurred yesterday.
It did not occur because the president shoot us a follow-up email saying that we should wait until the faculty senate have finished their investigations. So we did not meet, and we're pushing this back until the faculty, I guess, senate feels comfortable that we should step in. At least that's what the president has.
My intention would be, you know, in the next day or two, write to the president and say, here is my advice to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much. And we'll see what the president.
This is a point of order. I mean, in reality, I don't think you need.
I
don't need the way to have permission. What you need to discuss is whether or not you think the situation warrants you going against the, let's say, the interests or the desires of the various people on campus.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't necessarily have to wait for permission to do that.
I don't think that, at least I took Ari's comments to indicate that the report isn't complete.
Randy, Joe, and then
we have things on our plate for another couple of weeks. And so, point of fact, this discussion may be not in terms of authority, but in terms of time and process. Thank you.
Dean Burns?
Again, the president's report is complete. It's the question whether the faculty report is complete, and it's far from complete. They are just setting up their meetings with the offended faculty members, the police, the event managers, so forth and so on. So the faculty, the difference from the faculty committee may not be available. I would estimate that it should be set up. I'm just questioning if you want to wait that long.
Ari?
This is from again, the president's report is what's available on the Texas Senate website.
Yes.
Ellis?
Well, clearly what's really a big issue that we can address is apparently there's a conflict between what we used to call REMI and REMPO. Those don't exist anymore, do they, Ari?
They're all part
rules
of
for the maintenance of educational environment, rules for the maintenance of public order.
They
belong to us. And if there is some kind of discrepancy or some kind of a conflict in terms of what you need to get a permit versus freedom from assembly and all of that, that's our look anytime we want. We don't need to do anything. We still own the code, don't we? I left when you were arguing who owns what. But we still own the code, right? If the president's report as it exists right now, and Bob just showed me, said that there was some kind of a conflict, the CJC should look at it. And then, regardless, I mean, I'm not sure that we're the ones to go and investigate whether the police with their dogs attacked some particular faculty member and that this proved to be some problem. We have no jurisdiction over that. That's not in the code. It doesn't say anything about, you know, the police cannot bring dogs there, you know, for whatever reason. But certainly the idea of freedom of assembly versus permits and space allocations and all of that, that's something that does belong to us that CJC should look at.
The president's report is what's available on the Texas Senate website.
Yes.
And
especially if there's a time issue. I imagine 6 months, 6 weeks is probably optimistic.
That's my feeling.
So that's why I'm suggesting we actually review in terms of what that of the UA and the charge of the UA, what can we start on now to get the job done in a timely manner, as opposed to sort of waiting for the faculty and the administration to see how they want to do. This is sort of a politically charged issue, primarily because of the groups involved, but I don't think it has anything to do with some sort of conflict that exists within the rules that the university is using.
Randy?
I think what the conflict might come out to be in terms of the CSD and the codes is whether demonstrations outside should have to be permitted or not, or anything outside is just free, as long as you're just within the law and not shooting people and all that. But if you want to have demonstrations inside, you have to go through a permitting process. To me, my reading of the campus code says that's what it says. It distinguishes outside anybody can get their soapbox and start speaking. Hopefully people will be civil, but that's a free place to speak. The president, I think, would like to have that space permanent. That somebody has to apply for a permit, so the police will be aware in case they think it's going to be a public safety issue. And I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter Stein, I think, said, so now to get something permitted takes 2 weeks. Peter, the president would like it to take only 2 days. But if one group says on Wednesday we want a permit for Friday, and then the other group finds out on Thursday, then 2 days is the same as 2 weeks. They can't be a counter demonstration. And if we believe that counter demonstrations are just as important as demonstrations, then I think we should leave the campus code as it is and not change a thing. And but I think that so that's my position actually at the moment. I think that's something the TJC can look at independent of anybody's input.
I agree with you. I don't think we should push this issue until next year. So I would really appreciate it if Dean Burns could shoot an email to President Scorton to see if he also thinks that we should proceed on this issue from the University Assembly. If I do not hear from the President within the next few days, I guess we ask the University Assembly to also proceed with our own investigation of clarifying the code and see what we could do from our side. How does that sound? Randy?
I'm not sure what the process is, but perhaps you could charge or have a vote to charge the CJC to look at this. But since there's some things that we're already doing, it won't happen by the way. But it will happen. We'll start to hear the motion.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Yes?
The report is available. I think I'm sure it will be distributed to the whole UA shortly. And I think that might give people some ideas of resolutions to introduce that could be referred to the CJC to act on. So that would be my suggestion. It doesn't necessarily have to be a member of the CJC who proposes a resolution. Also, that committee will probably be.
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, just to say that time, place, and manner regulation was a phrase that came up several times, and President Scorton said that was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's okay with him to have a rally in Hope Plaza. outside without having some control of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the CJC decides to leave that in, that there's a nice phrase in the code about a free to have an outdoor demonstration. I think that's unacceptable to the president, but to what I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, the campus committee and event managers and so forth have allowed people to have demonstrations without permits. This is sort of something in their back pocket that they want to use for things without a permit. That's my interpretation.
So we will start the ball rolling by sending out the report later today or early night tomorrow, if the staff could do that for us. And if any member of the assembly sees a resolution fit to tackle this issue, please address it to the CJC. And if we could still have Dean Burns email the president to give us a form, I guess, formal okay to tackle this issue, that would be great as well. So if there's, I think that's the appropriate way to deal with this issue for now.
Yeah, I think the way I will phrase it is more, here is what I think the University of Assembly is going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think you agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask for
things. Yes. 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 Thank you. I guess moving on to the next business of the day. We have a slate of university hearing and review board nominations from the faculties. We have, I'm pretty sure, already approved some of the members on this list, but I guess these approvals have not reached these faculty members. So we are going to approve these faculty nominations again, so they could start their work on the university hearing and review board. Thank you, Randy. If you could please look at the list of faculty nominations. We will first vote on this list as a slate, and if you have any problems with any of the faculty nominations, please voice your opposition now. No, not really Robert School. I hear no opposition, so we will approve the following list of faculty nominations to the University Hearing and Review Board. Yeah. Next order of business. Appointment of representative to Judicial Code Counselor Search Committee. So basically, the UA need to send one representative to the Judicial Code Counselor Search Committee. It will entail a 3-hour meeting on Wednesday, March 7th, where you will basically interview 4 to 7 finalists to basically become the next Judicial Code Counselor. If anybody would like to take this responsibility, or if anybody want to nominate someone to take this responsibility, Ari?
Or,
yes.
I was told that there was a typo in the email that said Wednesday, March 7th, and it is in fact Wednesday, March 6th.
Oh.
So.
If anybody's available on Wednesday, March 6th from 4 to 7 and want to be on the search committee or want to nominate someone.
Randy, would you, since you have experience, be willing to search? Thank you.
Any oppositions to Randy being our representative? Oh, no. Will that be in the minutes?
You have to leave the room, but you can't get back in.
And I guess Randy will be our representative to the Judicial Code Counselor Search Committee. Next, we will have open discussion. Is there any discussion topics on the floor?
Why get some messages with you?
I'll
send it to you in paper airplane.
What's the office?
Taylor Hall. We will send you the information. Thank you for volunteering. Do we have any topics for discussion, Jay?
I've been hearing from a lot of students saying that there are a lot of surveys that need to be done school-wide, like good example was school life, but there was just one country, but a lot of students were saying that you need to some kind of system so students can actually participate so we can get accurate information for those surveys.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering how we can do the school survey system, like regularly, maybe every semester or maybe every year, and we need to find a way to make sure our majority of the students do it so we can get a good teacher of the survey.
Sorry, just to clarify, these surveys are for everybody, not just students?
Students.
Just undergrad or?
But it depends because of graduation and everything, like they need something for graduate. And
right.
So I guess I just brought up the idea because I've been hearing, but
mm-hmm.
everyone is saying the same thing that we need some kind of system to do a survey for everyone.
So,
kind of like a splash page where you can go to and see what current surveys are up by the various governing assemblies, like the employee survey or GPSA.
Mm-hmm. Ari?
I think the person you want to talk to is Maureen Clarkford, who's the director of institutional research and planning, which is basically the office of the university that coordinates surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Every time somebody proposes a survey in any meeting, I suggest her, and usually after talking with her, you'll have the information I need.
How do you say her
name? Her first name is M-A-R-I-N. Last name is C-L-A-R-K-E-D. Sorry. C-L-A-R-K-E-R-D.
But they don't have regular systems to send out surveys.
So they do the pulse survey every 2 years, and they do like exit surveys for seniors. So like they do every survey that you've done in Cornell that's placed at Cornell Intervention is now you out of that.
So if you want to implement anything new, it's probably the best place to start talking as well.
Right.
Any other topics?
Yes. Actually, question. Do you have a company experiment for undergraduate students from their first year, their freshman year, like their first year experience?
I think there is because I think I took one my freshman year.
There has been in the past. I don't think it's every year, and I don't know how frequently it is. But there certainly is one on some sort of schedule. Now, whether that schedule is 5 years or something, I'm unsure.
Interesting. The reason why I ask is I'm wondering if first year students are asked about their experience, most of them
mm-hmm.
on campus, they can really capture a lot of it as opposed to the undergraduate survey where you're asking overall questions. Maybe we just don't have a lot of people calling us and telling us how happy they are because they're on the campus with their experience. We just need to get all the complaints, but it seems like, wow.
I'm sure you could talk to whatever name Ari suggested. Sorry, I forgot. Maureen. And maybe try to get that survey going or going on a more regular basis. Definitely something maybe for your committee to look into.
Well, why would you wait to make sure people actually take the survey? Because No one wants to take their 10 seconds to take the survey. Anybody?
There's a whole realm of research. Just communication PhD right here. But incentivizing is something I'm sure that the Cornell school doesn't have a lot of.
Oh my god, it's not your country. I would do everything.
I think positive feedback is a better communication.
No.
Because as someone said, we need to find this, like, location to put more cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, someone you say, oh, I think that area needs camera, but someone is there, like, 1,000 other
yeah.
locations. But to find those kind of specific areas, we need to take
yeah.
kind of survey, and we need to make sure it's, like, 30% of schools
yeah. I understand. I don't think the assembly is the proper expertise for that, so... but I'm thankful for Ari for addressing or directing you to the proper expertise to try to solve this problem.
It's a frequently asked, it comes up all the time. So.
What we could do is invite Moran to a university assembly meeting, and maybe she could help address any questions that we might have. Would that be helpful for us?
This is just a trivial point of view.
Yes.
The only survey I actually enjoyed filling out after the past 5 years was for the Cornell Foundation. And I don't know if that was just me or they had some particularly good survey that the questions actually seem to coincide with in my brain, which is usually not the case.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to... Yes, Bridget. We are right now. Okay. We will try to bring her in to one of the remaining UA meetings, and hopefully we'll address some of the issues. And then next item, Bridget.
We'll be meeting on March 6th with transportation representatives to hear if they've got anything new coming down the line for us. And if anybody has any transportation concerns, tell them we want parking to be free. And yeah, free parking. Free parking is all good. Anything else, certainly, let me know.
I'll make sure you have the graduate community initiative section on transportation by then. We'll have it done by Monday, by the 4th. So, I'll be a little late.
I noticed a while ago that the transportation was a sustainable Cornell initiative. The transportation had a website and that one too. I remember when it first went off, a little while ago, I went back to North and I hadn't seen a particular thing. How much progress has been made? I think that's what we're going to hear. How many green initiatives?
Okay.
And I know there's a couple of them that I call for the panel future, like they get done. I know there's a level 2 charge that's going to be DB Lake, or it's called Fort Columbia. I think it's a Fort Columbia. But I haven't really seen much off on campus that promotes that infrastructure there that you put in. Or seeing anything in the details for their goals. Actually, I should say advertising their goals for the community. Because that's what they're looking at. They're trying to reduce the carbon footprint of Cornell commuters, but also to see them advertising how we as commuters can actually help them achieve their goals. So that's what interesting.
Yeah, good question. I don't know if anybody knows, but a while back they were trying to have a program where you could sign up to borrow and use a van, and have a ride share type thing where they provide the vehicle. They figured that.
Free membership?
You get the membership fee.
Membership
paid for the like $50 or $150 a year. If you request it.
for
to pay for the car and everything.
Uh-huh. Is that open for any criminal?
I know it's for
grabbing.
Yeah.
I think it's connected somehow to the omnibus. Somehow in there. Huh.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, interesting. I've been bumming rides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys thinking of, in your committee, of any trying to get anything to push this part up?
With changes or transportation? Not that I'm aware of. I requested to meet their legislators and bring forward. I know we talked a lot last semester about the blue light.
I think the blue light we have committed to your committee, so we can bring it up for discussion and maybe commit it somewhere else if you would like to do that.
I know that they increased, we're certainly trying very hard to keep the word out.
Mm-hmm.
The last we heard from transportation is that they felt that they were meeting some of that demand.
Is that a motion to bring that topic back to the table? And maybe we could discuss it and recommit it somewhere?
The issue was that in the fall, maybe in the semester, there was quite a few safety concerns. And was the university providing enough options for students for late night transportation?
I mean, who likes the one spelling and what are you?
Who likes bus? I'm sorry, questions from the bus. I guess they felt that students go longer at the time, I believe it's 2 a.m.
Apparently, some decent demand between 2 and 6 a.m.
They're actually, I mean, for grad students that who come out of labs, that's actually a really critical time because they do actually, they have really odd hours and they can't otherwise get home.
Well, I was trying to, and Kathy's owner and somebody else were going to look into it and I don't know what came
up. How about
to reach out to Kathy?
Yeah.
Well,
and maybe for next meeting we can have a more comprehensive update for the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget, will you send me a short email about this topic since I'm meeting with Kathy sometime later this week or early next week so I could ask her about this for you. And then we can bring it up at the next meeting and see where it should go again.
Yep.
All right. Any other topics for discussion? Jim?
Did anyone brief Title IX?
No, I don't believe so.
So Melissa and I met with Mary Beth Grant and Alan Dittman about Policy 6.4, where is it? You know, we passed our resolution last year, we put a placeholder in the code. We still haven't seen the policy yet that is supposed to implement it. They are still working on it. It has been more difficult than they thought. But they would like to preview it with a few members of all the assemblies, ostensibly two from the UA, two from the assembly, two from the undergraduate, graduate, professional students, and talk about where they are in a kind of an off-the-record way, as opposed to in the Cornell Daily Sun kind of way, where they're going, what they're thinking, what the challenges of them, and where they're headed, to get some initial feedback before they move to the next place, which would be the open forums. They do still intend to formally have their recommendation out for public comment before the end of the year, and then, depending on those comments, they would try and solidify the policy over the summer, or if the comments showed that they needed to readdress it, then they would be willing, ostensibly, to wait until everybody reconvened. But they would hope not to do that if they don't have to. They think they're on the right track. They're looking for some official, but you know, in-house feedback from the assemblies and the stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't think they could get that done before the next UA meeting. So Melissa was going to contact you, both of you, with asking, you know, who you would like to have there and get the word out to the other assemblies. If that hasn't happened, I will follow up with Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan and Mary Beth, they have a certain, because of New York Convention, it's kind of the time zone they'd like to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that, they would schedule the next phases of, you know, actual for outdoor public comments and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what they told us behind closed doors, it made perfect sense, understood what they were dealing with. There were no huge issues, and I think my take is that what I heard last year, the people that have concerns, the their concerns are generally addressed by what they're doing, but we'll let all those folks speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an update, and I'll talk to them with them and get you more information.
All right, thank you. We will ask for volunteers for this committee as soon as we get some more information from Melissa.
My guess is that our second to last meeting, maybe mm-hmm. our last official meeting, or maybe, I can't remember all of them, they will come and physically brief us and walk us through the policy.
Right.
If this in-house thing doesn't set them back,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
just third mm-hmm. one. If they right. intend to bring it up formally and come in and do the slideshow or however they're going to present.
Thank you, Jim. Any other topics? I move to adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Yes, Jay.
I
know.
I had something that I'm going to ask. I talked to Jim Hunter last time, and I want to ask him, how come it's not okay to do double major or triple major across colleges?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of an issue. And he said, one of the main reasons that's impossible in Cornell University is that some colleges are getting state funding,
yeah.
and some colleges don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the main reasons that our students cannot be double or triple major across colleges. And I was wondering if there is any way to go on that to make it happen. Like, a lot of engineers want to do be double major, and
mm-hmm.
I think that many of them are very capable of doing that.
Well, for
biology is offered and see what with the unification of the economics program, you might be able to get done through that as well, or basically it would be, and it also depends on how the courses overlap, even if they call it something different. So if economics is offered in three different colleges, but the core courses are similar, students may be able to get that way if they wish. But you should be aware, I'm not sure exactly which body it was, the AUP, I believe, there's been a white paper used on double majors and administration of minors. And their conclusion is that universities should work hard to serve it, primarily because that state universities, less competitive universities, including double majors, succeed, which makes students delay their graduation. And at competitive universities, Cornell, the data suggests that the results of students just. And the final part of their study suggested that if you look at it from any perspective you want, competitive, graduate school, job, any other outcome, double, triple majors, three minors, make no difference. So students are basically often entering these majors thinking it's going to increase their performance after Cornell or after school. But the data shows that it doesn't seem like any difference. So they're actually we're asking for the conspiracy. Princeton's already done that. Princeton, if you want to get older, you have to do two honors pieces. Physically impossible to do that. When my daughter does that, they also consider for basically the same reason. And they all you have to do is watch. And the last thing I think for students to understand, when you do a double major, it basically means you're very broadly trained at the end of that. Because you have to take all the courses that satisfy those majors. You probably would be better off in terms of skills. She's a single major, and the last year is so focused on a QA. It really is all about thinking. And then, of course, it tends to challenge you to think more than just taking sort of the basic course in computer.
It might be, if it's less of a personal question, like, I don't know if you're thinking about double majoring or something.
No, it's not my problem.
Yeah, so if it's more of a systematic question, it might be better addressed by, like, approaching Adam and talking to more of the student body sort of focus.
Well, we also chat. We have to go to the faculty committee on academic programs because they actually help control it. And often individual colleges have committees that actually control what is the major and what courses are required to complete it. But I'm just sort of giving you guys a heads up because I think from the system administration, they actually may be pushing back on it.
I'm not talking about thousands of people in Cornell University. Obviously, as you know, there are already those 60 people, maybe one out of 100 or 200, whatever. Those are the people who are very tech-hungry, and like you said, they taking double or triple major might not get them pure technology in their major, but some people are actually doing better. Like some of people I know are doing triple or quadruple major in science, physics, bio, chem, math. I of course I know them and they're doing great. They are listening to their material. They're writing awesome papers in public. And so those I'm talking about those gifted couple of very very few number of people in Cornell University who will take a full benefit of doing double major, and I'm pretty sure those people will be able to finish Cornell for
you. Oh, no, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
I think what they worry about is the students who actually don't have those capabilities. And that's strong students, and everybody wants to do it.
I think, Jay, if you are passionate about this subject, I can see that it definitely affects faculty and undergrads at the very least, and probably graduate students and staff in some way.
I don't think it affects graduate students as much.
Okay, it doesn't.
Dual degree programs, like I'm mm-hmm. saying, I get a dual degree between an MRP and a law degree, but mm-hmm. all of those dual degree programs, except for my knowledge, are have to be like approved by the Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm.
Like so mm-hmm. if I wanted to do, I mean, I can only do those approved dual degree programs, so if I want to get 2 degrees, I have to finish one and then it's not a bad
question. The guy who's the chair of that committee, which is the faculty committee, is Tom Cleveland. And I think it's between colleges. He has to approve. They did something for statistics already. There's a major now in statistics. Statistics involves faculty from three or four different colleges. And what they did was they actually slashed the major. So when it's between colleges, it's half secondary.
But there's definitely no difference who teaches what. It's the college you're enrolled in that grants you your degree in a particular major. Okay? And it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm on the best school admissions committee. You look at the courses people took. You don't care about their major. You know? If you took all the courses you have in the test, like 10 majors, it makes no difference. It's not going to appear anywhere. It's not going to say that you did like 5 majors anywhere on your diploma or on official documentation. So
mm-hmm.
it's really up to a person to go to their college, okay, and try to get the college to decide. And trying to do it between colleges is almost impossible.
I really appreciate this discussion, but I'm feeling like we kind of have
more UA too.
Yeah, diverged a little bit. Well, Jay, I advise you to pursue that. Second, I now adjourn the meeting at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, February 26th. Thank you, guys.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.